Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored.
I love to start my podcast saying, hello. I'm officially a year older since my last podcast. I was off for a few weeks and not talking or downloading podcasts, running around in Palm Springs, enjoying the heat and that whole mid-century modern vibe. I'm in the middle of trying to add pieces of my childhood into my home and creating this really cool vibe that has, like, not really, I do love the whole 70s retro look and those bright, loud colors and the clothing. I really resonate with the 70s with the clothes that I like to wear. But when it comes to my home, I'm like right in that mid-60s to the end of 60s and been working on building a home that reminds me of my grandmother's home. And it's been so fun. So for my birthday, I picked to go to Palm Springs with my husband because I was looking for very specific pieces that remind me of my grandparents growing up. And was able to go through, I don't know if you guys have ever shopped in any of the mid-century modern everything there, but it is a ton of fun. I could spend a lot of time there. But I'm doing kind of an homage to my grandparents, my mother. That's favorite time of my life when that I can remember, and it just, the whole look brings me peace. I'm not really into the dark panel there. Sometimes it resonated as dark in the rooms. So although I have a lot of really cool pieces that I'm trying to add in and implement, it's light and bright with white walls. So I love creating. I don't know if you know that about me, but I love to design my own front yard, my own backyard, the homes that I've had. And it's fun to watch, for me, looking at the houses that I've done, how they've changed so drastically over the years. When we bought this house at the beginning of last year, I said, if you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, you know that I moved a lot growing up. I'd gone to a lot of different schools. There was a lot of change in my life that was happening all the time. When I moved into this home, we downsized into about 1,400 square feet. And it's this quaint little home that's kind of, the floor plan's a little bit weird, and I absolutely fell in love with the street and the home, and had this vision of how I was going to turn it into just the perfect home. So I love to say they will carry me out of a body bag in this home. I have no intention of ever moving unless there's another plan for me that I'm not aware of. I am taking my time to make this every single detail of how I want to live for the rest of my life. So just a little note before we start talking about what I'm actually here to talk about. Designing and creativity, whether it's your home or if you like to make, I used to also love to make jewelry. There's times in my life when doing a puzzle, anything that kind of takes my mind off stress. So I just want to give you a second to think about, how am I creative? What am I doing to tap into my creativity? Because we limit ourselves a lot thinking things like, I can't even draw a stick figure. I have a husband who's actually an amazing artist. He drew for a little bit for Marvel Comics. He is now a sculptor, and he does the most beautiful things. And if I were to think creativity and think about the things that he does, I would just feel incredibly overwhelmed and like I don't have a creative bone in my body. What I've realized over the years is that when I'm tapping into my creativity, it looks like the outfits that I'm putting together, the home and home decorating, the food that I create, the way I put it on a plate. I am creative. It just looks very different. So before we start this podcast, I came in from spending a day really looking at fine-tuning the things that I want to get for this inspiration wall. I'll start posting it, some of it on Instagram as it starts coming together. So if you're not following me on Instagram, go to Undone and Uncensored, and I'll start adding those into my stories, just so you can play along with me through this process. But I'm also was spent a couple of days looking for this picture of my mom and her brother, my uncle, when they were, I'm going to guess, maybe 16 and 18 at a party. And I have this vision to blow it up and use it as wallpaper in one section of my home. So you're going to want to follow me and see all these cool ideas that I have. And one thing about me, I'm okay with making mistakes when it comes with creativity. So I'll post, I'm getting ready to finish another wall. I started with, you know, those walls that have the like design and it's kind of made out of sticks. And my nephew came and did this beautiful wall for me right when I moved in, and I kept looking at it. And I kept seeing it at everybody else's home. And I like to stay as much as I can outside of trends and more into things that are authentic for me. So if everybody has it, I have a tendency to want it less. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but anyway, I kept seeing all these walls and I thought, how can I do this? How can I, that's not even mid-century modern. That's not really what I was thinking of. So although the wall was amazingly beautiful and I loved it, I just took that all down, paid for someone to come redo the drywall, and am creating a new wall. So that's also going to be up. I hope that's done by the end of this weekend. So again, watch those stories. I'll be posting about them. But now on to the real topic for the podcast. And I named this podcast Mentorship and Paying It Forward before I started today. I think what's going to come of this story that I'm going to tell you is I think you'll learn a lot about where I came from and what my level of confidence was when I was younger. How you can, doesn't matter what it is, if you really envision something and speak it, you can have it in your life. How life works with you when you show up for it. And then, but the most important thing that I want to talk about is a woman in my life that completely changed how I operate. She was the first person when it came to work and how important that was for me that told me that she believed in me. And it literally changed everything about how I worked from that day forward, about being okay with making mistakes. And so I'm excited to tell this story. It starts, and instead, I always try and pick what age I was and what year it was. I have no idea. I was in my early 20s at some point working at a battered women's shelter as an admin assistant, which I had come out of a relationship that was physically abusive. And I had gone working and trying to help other women. I was doing administrative work for the director there and also would speak a little bit to different places. But anyways, I'm sitting at my desk typing, and my boss at the time, her name was Robin, yells out, "Leanne, if you could do anything in this whole world, what would you do?" And I looked up, I didn't even skip a beat, and I said, "I would work at Gap." And she started laughing and she said, "Are you serious? Like, can you think about that?" That at that point in my life, I had grown up for the most part. I started in Southern California, but came here. I was very sheltered growing up, so I hadn't watched a lot of TV. We didn't have access to a lot of good shopping here. I was very sheltered. And the little bit that I saw, Gap was just it. And I wanted to work there. And I loved the clothes. I loved everything about it. But if you think about asking somebody, if you could be anything in the whole world, what would you want to do? My answer was, I want to work at Gap. And I meant it down in my core. And I think when she looked at me and said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yes, I'm serious." She stopped laughing. She was probably like, "Oh, shit, this one's a little fucked up." No, it was really deep in my core. That's what I was reaching for. I wanted to work at a Gap. I love the clothes and I love helping people, and I love helping people feel better about themselves. And I just envisioned, I didn't know what I was talking about. I'd never been in retail, but I envisioned that that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. That was going to be my big career, was going to be Gap. Well, I live in a small town. We had a little mall, but it didn't have, it was like basically mom and pop stores. There might have been a few things here and there, but we did not have anything. Like, we might have had a Sears and a JCPenney's, but we were not, we were far from a Gap. There was no, and it wasn't coming. It wasn't, I couldn't live where I was living and work at Gap. So that's that part of the story, just a preface before I start talking to you about the rest. I go on from that job to work for a cosmetic dentist, which was a great experience for me. And one of the things about me and any job that I have, as long as I'm focused on how I'm helping other people and what I'm doing, whether it's my coworkers around me, I've always been happy. So I can't say, other than being a waitress, which I'm going to come back to that in a minute, there's ever been a job that I really didn't like. I really enjoy, if I can help you in any way, if I'm around people, I have loved most of the jobs I have. So I go to work for this cosmetic dentist from there, and worked there for a couple of years, met some amazing humans that I'm still friends with today. I do not regret anything about that job, but there were some unfortunate people and things that happened in that job. And it was the first and one of the only times that I have been laid off from a job. And it wasn't actually the first. And that's why I brought up waitressing. The first job that they ever said, absolutely not, you're a terrible person and waitress, not person, but waitress was, I tried to waitress when I was 18. And it was this little like steakhouse in Prescott Valley. And I was going in at lunch, and I was trying so hard to be such a good waitress. Again, if you have kids, I don't think that people should be able to move on with life without being of service in some way, whether that's waitressing or working in retail, one of the hardest jobs I've ever had. But I was a waitress. He didn't fire me, but he wanted to. And I went to him saying, I'm not making any money, and I want to work at dinner. And he said, no. He looked at me, I think he was drinking at the bar, and he said, no, absolutely not. And I said, why not? And he said, you're a terrible waitress. So I basically got fired, but I think I quit. So back to this job that I had, it was unfortunate. I was working with somebody who was not the actual dentist that I was working for, but somebody that we just really didn't see eye to eye, and it wasn't going to work out. She was my boss, and I ended up getting laid off. But again, with that job, still have friends to this day that I worked with, and some an important time in my life. So super grateful for it. So I get laid off. It's right before Christmas. I have two little girls at the time, and it was devastating. I got very depressed, and just, I was living, I was renting a home at the time, and the dentist was an amazing man. He had given me, I think I had enough money to make it 2 or 3 months. So, which was very kind of him. And actually, he became my dentist again, not very long after that. And I have nothing but great things. He's since retired, but I have nothing but great things to say about him. He came to know that at some point that person who was managing for me was not necessarily the best thing for him or his business. And eventually she was no longer with the company. But that's here. What am I trying to say? Neither here nor there. I love to say weird shit that I don't know how to say. That's neither here nor there. Point being, I'm depressed. I have a child I feel like she was a freshman in high school. So that would have made my second daughter, six? I don't know, something like that. And I'm pretty depressed, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what kind of job I'm going to get. I have enough money to make it for a little bit. And I am just spinning. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. In the background of all of this, and this is years later after that first conversation that I had with what I wanted to be, I started hearing that they were building a mall. or they had already started building a mall, but I wasn't sure what was going to be there. My mom called me. Now, so if I have a daughter that's 16, I'm about 34 at this point in time. So this is going to make me sound like I'm really young when I'm telling you this story. When I talk about this story, some of the things I even say make me feel like I was like 17 or 18. But again, this is just the facts, and this is where I was at. My mom calls and said, hey, I hear at the high school they're doing a job fair to fill for the new mall that's coming, and they're going to have a gap. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should do that. So I go over to my mom's house. I get ready. I make my mom go with me to the job fair. And I get there not right when it starts. It's like a couple of hours after it starts. I'm standing in line with my mom. And I'm just telling you that because that's how much, who does that? I did. And I needed her. And I'm really glad she was there. But this makes this story even more special. So we are standing in line. She's standing there with me. And I'm thinking, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I bet this is going to work. Like, I'm building up my confidence and I think I can do this. And somebody walks through the line and says, they're trying to figure out who people are there to talk to, who they're going to see, and basically that the job fair is closing early because they filled all the jobs. So this woman walks by and she asked what I was there for. And I said, I was interested in getting a job at Gap. And there was two women there. One said, we've already filled all the jobs for Gap. The other woman said, actually, I'm going to take you out of the line and take you in. So I got pulled out of a line that was closed down to go in and interview for this job at Gap. And what they were looking for was sales associates, sales supervisors, and then there was an assistant manager, and then a store manager. So they talked to me for a little bit, talked to me about my experience that I didn't have at all, any in retail. The manager that was there at the time, later she told me she didn't want to hire me at all, that they had, the regional manager had kind of pushed for, I really think that you need to hire her and get her in there. But I started a job at 34 as a floor supervisor making $9 an hour. And this was, I'm 54 now, so about 20 years ago. And it wasn't a lot of pay. The pay was not good. It definitely, had been making a lot more than that. But I thought I was determined. And again, this was the job that I always wanted to have. And I was going to do this job and be good at it. And I was going to build up and be anything and everything that I, and grow with the company. So I got a job, super excited. I couldn't have been happier. I knew I wasn't going to really have enough money, but I was in and I was going to do it. So in that process, I kept growing with the company. The original store manager ended up moving, and there was an interim manager for a little while that was a little rough, to work with. But lo and behold, this beautiful woman, and her name is Angie, moved from Phoenix, I believe, to take over our store. And there was something about her. I'd like to describe her for you, but she is indescribable. She was tall and funny, and just everything about her, really, I really looked up to her. And she had something very calming about her. There was nothing that made me feel stressed. And I had spent my life as kind of frenetic and a ball of stress. And I was used to retail. If you've never worked retail before, it's not anything like it looks. There's a lot of really long hours. There's times when my job ended up being changing out the floors. And when that happened, there were times that you would work through the night. And then as a manager, I'd still have to, you know, maybe get a couple of hours in and then turn around and go back into work, depending on what other people's schedules were. So needless to say, my dream job was also a very hard job, but one that I really, really loved. But I wasn't really good at it. I was so afraid to make a mistake that I would just, they would give you kind of this floor set of what it should look like. But it was just an idea of what it should look like. And a lot of the bigger stores there would be a lot more. They would get a lot more inventory in. So you'd have to take it and kind of downsize to make it work for your space, for the area that you had, and for the clothes that you were getting in. So it took a lot more time than you would imagine. And you had to get it right, because then you also would have to answer to your manager and it would have to look good. And then they'd also, your district managers would walk through and make sure that you were doing a good job. So even what the clothes that you chose to put on the mannequins and everything about it was something that I found very, very difficult. And I was terrified of making a mistake. I was a person who took more time than necessary trying to make sure that it was put together right. And I remember one day I had taken the drawings in and I sat down, and this was something that Angie and I did every time I had a floor set. I took my drawings in and I would sit and show her every single detail of everything that I had done and want her feedback and want to talk to her about it. I will never forget this day. It means so much to me. And it impacted my life. There's so much more about her than just this statement. But she literally put her hand down on the piece of paper. I wonder if she remembers this. She put her hand down on the piece of paper and said, "Leanne, I trust you. I think you're going to do a great job. And if you make a mistake, no big deal. We'll talk about how it could have been different and we'll fix it. But I believe in you and I trust you and I know you can do this." I don't know if she knows this to this day, but it literally changed me. That moment, somebody saying, "I believe in you," and I've had a lot of people in my life believe in me. My mother most definitely believed in me. I had a supportive sister. I had supportive people in my life. But how she said it and the way she said it, she gave me permission to make a mistake. And I think that's the first time I felt like it was okay to make a mistake and that I wasn't going to be judged for it. That it's real simple. It's okay. You make a mistake. We'll talk about how it could have been different. We'll change it and we'll move on from there. That changed me. That moment changed me. It changed everything about me. It changed how I did my job at Gap. It changed how I became. I went from Gap to marrying my husband and running the gyms that we're still running now, 18, almost 19 years later. And two things that it did for me. One is that it gave me permission, for whatever reason, to make a mistake. It helped me understand when other people make mistakes. And I hope that I have paid that forward and told people that same thing. I hope if you've ever worked for me that you have heard it's okay to make a mistake. No big deal. We learn from them and we'll move on from there and we'll figure it out through it. And I hope that I've made people feel believed in because it really was important to me. I wouldn't be the person I am today. I would not have started this podcast without that conversation. It was life-changing to me. And I, if she doesn't know, I'll definitely tag her in this podcast so she does know. I feel like at some point I wrote her and told her how important it was to me. But that being said, it's my job when somebody has given that to me, believed in me and trusted me, and she followed through with it. She didn't just say it and then like try to pull back the reins to take it away from me. She let me be creative and she let me make mistakes and she let me do it right. And she was just a person who was always there for me. She ended up moving, ended up getting married, and the store at sadly Gap closed in Prescott, Arizona. Terrible, terrible. It actually moved to an outlet. I wasn't into it at that point. I was on getting married and getting ready to work in the gym more and do things there. But she was a very important part of my life. And I want you to think about those people in your life that have really changed everything. I am also coaching a woman who has a similar story where she had one person believe in her and it created the career that she's had for many, many years and what she ended up doing and how she's ended up succeeding in life. And it kind of triggered that memory of, wow, not only, gosh, I hope I've told this person. If I haven't, it's time to tell them. So if you have a person in your life that has really changed your life and what they said or did or how they treated you made you a better person, it's time to pick up the phone and tell that person yourself, and or write them a letter or do a podcast and tag them in it. Say, hey, don't know if you know this. Can't remember if I've told you this, but hey, to your Angie, she's the funniest, one of the funniest people I've ever met. I find myself often wanting to tell you her stories. I'll tell you this about her. She hates red and purple. And every time she saw red and purple, I can't even say this without laughing. She's the best. It made her mad, like enraged. So now, probably because I have so much gratitude towards her, if I see red and purple, I get angry for her. I'm like, oh, we can't put red and purple together. That's not okay. That would make Angie upset. To this day, if I see red and purple, I think about Angie. It makes me giggle and it also makes me enraged. Why did they put those two colors together? I don't know. I never noticed it before, but I definitely notice it now. So red and purple don't exist together. If you disagree with me, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Right, Angie? but not only that, how can I now mentor someone else? How can I now pay it forward and mentor? And I'm getting ready. I also can't wait to talk to you more about this. I'm right on the precipice of being involved in a program mentoring inmates that are coming out of prison and want to open their own businesses. And I was lucky enough to be able to get involved in this program and be accepted in it. And that is the one thing that I took into this, was thinking about how much that changed my life and you know, how displaced you must feel getting out of prison, but you are trying to make a change and you want to open a business and you don't know how to get there. The one thing about me is that I've made so many mistakes in business. I don't think there's one that I haven't made. If there is, not, I'm going to knock on wood that I don't need to make it again. I've made so many mistakes that I am the perfect person to help someone with this kind of thing, because I know for the most part all the things that don't work and what does work. So mentorship, honoring the people who have gotten you to where you are at, thanking them, holding space for them, because really I don't know where I'd be. And not to speak of how amazing that my dream in life was to be a Gap employee. And guess what? I did it, and I did a great job at it. And I moved on from that, and I had dreams from there. And then at some point, this dream was to have a podcast. Guess what? Here we are doing it, podcast 10. And just keep believing in yourself and keep envisioning it. Say it out loud. I don't care if it sounds stupid or not. I want to be a Gap manager. I can do it, man. Do it. You want, I don't care what it is. I don't care how stupid people think it is. I don't care who comes up. Why do you want to do a podcast? Everybody does a podcast. Can you even make money doing a podcast? No, I don't know. Not probably most people. Who gives a fuck? If that's what you want, reach out and do it. Make a list. Say it out loud. Somebody laughs at you. Cool. They just gave you a message. They just gave you a message that that's not your supportive friend. That's not the person that you go to for a little. They might be a good person to have dinner with, have a laugh with, but they're not the person that you want to talk to about your dreams. They're not the person that you want to have by your side as you're taking risks in life. And that's just not that person. Make a note of it and move on and go tell someone else and keep telling people and keep telling yourself and keep making those lists and thinking, what can I do today? What is one thing that I can do today to get me closer to that dream? And I'll tell you, if you're not doing it, if you're not standing up and doing one thing, even if it's a little itty bitty thing every single day, reevaluate how much you really want that. Go back to those Angies in your life. Go back to those people in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't experienced that, you need to change your people. You need to change your people. Find somebody who believes in you. Find somebody who believes in your dreams. Keep talking about them. And you keep believing in yourself, regardless of what anybody says. You keep doing it. I believe in you. Sit down, make a list, have an action plan. Don't get caught up in the things you don't know how to do. What's one thing that you do know how to do today? We talked about this in earlier podcasts. Whatever that is, do that. It'll get you closer. Keep believing. Keep saying it out loud. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Don't forget to pay it forward. When you get there, when you're doing it, reach back out to those people that were there. Reach back out to people who need you, who need a mentor, who need somebody to say you can do this. That's how that's how the system works. And don't you ever give up on your dream. Not ever. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your circumstances are. My mom is 76 years old, and she's about 4 months away from her bachelor's degree. You are never, ever, there's never a time while you're still living and breathing on this earth that it's too late. So don't give up on yourself. Live your life. Live your dreams. Live your life. Live the life that you want to. Don't ever give up. You've got this. You can do this. So Riker and I, the annoying little Westie in the back that was making an appearance throughout my podcast, would like to say we hope you have a great day. Until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.